I've talked to you about our successes, our challenges, but I am just thrilled that we have a plan. We're not operating blindly. Our board codified a plan this past fall that will lead and guide and direct our work as we look towards fulfilling the promise that exists. This plan has five areas. It has five strategic focus areas. One is accelerating student achievement. Second is future ready students, engaged community, great teachers and leaders, and efficient and effective operations. And the great thing about this plan, the thing that we're most excited about, is that in every area within our strategic focus, you will see an annual performance summary. There are targets for every area that year over year, we articulate to the public, this is where we want to be, and this is the work that we're doing to get there.
Welcome back to the Camp House Podcast. This week we are featuring the State of the System address from Dr. Brian Johnson about the current state of our Hamilton County schools. The address was originally given back in February, and Dr. Johnson shares the promise of public education, that our schools would create the opportunity for every one of our children to reach their highest potential. Importantly, he shares the five-year plan recently adopted by our school board that will help fulfill that promise. This is a speech full of celebrations and challenges, as well as establishing a vision for where our schools will be in 2023. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Busby.
For being here this evening. We so sincerely appreciate your attendance here. That video strikes me extremely deeply when JFK said, "We choose to go to the moon not because it's easy, but because it's hard." And Mayor Coppinger pointed out several people that sit here within this auditorium that have chosen to engage in public education not because it's easy, but because it's hard. I'd ask you to give all of our faculty, our staff, and our administrators within Hamilton County Schools another round of applause for engaging in the hard work. I'd also like to recognize our parents. If you're a parent that's in this room and you have spent time with your child, as I know you do, engaging them in the learning process, please, let's give our parents that are so supportive of our schools a hand. As mentioned earlier, we have a phenomenal school board that is committed to the work that we're engaged in. And I'd like to say on behalf of me and my family, thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for taking a chance on at that time, a 34-year-old guy and having the courage to step out and do the hard thing. We so sincerely appreciate it. My wife is here. Yes, she is. And my son. I have a school board that's my boss. I told somebody today, and I'm getting way off script, Tim, so just forgive me. I told somebody today, I don't get to supervise anything. People think you're superintendent, you have control. I have no control at all. I work for a school board, and then I think we all work for my wife. And so my wife, I want to tell you, honey, I so appreciate you, as JFK said, doing the hard thing and taking a risk and moving here with me so that we could serve in this capacity. Thank you so much. And my son, who I'm sure is engaged in Fortnite, because that's more engaging than dad. We have thoroughly enjoyed Chattanooga. It is a wonderful, wonderful place. There is so much to do here. It is just absolutely, I believe, one of the best places to raise a family. And over this last year and a half, we've met so many people that are supportive of not just public education, but we've met people that are just great people. This is a collaborative community and we are so appreciative to have an opportunity to be here. We want to talk tonight about the promise. We want to talk about the promise that exists within our public school system and the promise that we as a community must make for each and every one of our students. We firmly believe that the best days for Hampton County Schools are ahead. And if we're going to do this, we all have to dig in. We have to ensure that every single one of our students have an opportunity to graduate post-secondary ready and fulfill their highest and fullest potential. As I talk about this promise, I want you to understand there's three elements that we always look at. First off, we want to make sure that everything we do, our promise is that everything we do, we want to make sure that it's educationally sound. We want to make sure it meets best practice. We want to make sure that we are also fiscally responsible. And then thirdly, we want to make sure that what we do is sustainable. We don't want to be a programmatic school district. We want to make sure that we're building blocks that can be built on for years and years and years to come so that this school district gets better and better and better and our students go higher and higher and higher as we prepare them for college and career. Xavier Chavez, is he in the room? Right in front of me. Stand up, Xavier. Give Xavier a hand. Xavier's on Superintendent Student Advisory Committee. He's also a senior at CCA. Xavier has and his family have continued to sojourn and overcome some things. And Xavier next year will be going to, you tell him, Xavier. Harvard University. You can have a seat. That opportunity that Xavier had to fulfill his promise and the promise that we made to him is the promise that we believe is the appropriate promise for 44,500 students in Hamilton County Schools. We want students to fulfill whatever it is they desire to do, whether it's Harvard, whether it's owning an electrician, whether it's being an electrician and owning their own company. We want our students to reach their highest and fullest potential. As I talk about promise, I think it's important that you understand that our school district, Hamilton County Schools, we are showing promise. We've had many moments of success, and as pointed out, our teachers, and I mean this, some of the successes that you'll see, the improvements that you'll see, they are not a result of the superintendent. They are a result of teachers and leaders and support staff and a school board and a community that desires to be phenomenal, that desires to be great. And so I spent a little bit of time talking about these things. So our school system has 17 schools that are reward schools. And so when the state sends out all of their data and they break it down and they look at all the different metrics, whether it's student academic growth, whether it's student achievement, whether it's graduation rates, whether it's absentee rates, and they boil all that information down, they essentially give a rank and a grade. And we have 17 schools that have reached that highest level when taking on all those components. We also have 25 schools. One third of our school system this past year saw their schools reach the state's highest student academic growth level. I think that deserves a round of applause. One out of three of our schools. And we talk some about our teachers. We have 53 teachers that are nationally board certified in our county, and we outpace schools and districts all over the region and candidly all over the country for our size. And that's why it's so important that we continue to recruit, to retain, and to pay our teachers competitive wages so that we can make sure that our children are receiving the absolute best education possible. Our graduation rate this past year was 86.5%. That is the highest that our graduation rate has been since 2013. Yeah. We have 10 national merit finalists. Most of them are at Signal Mountain. There's roughly six at Signal Mountain, but across this county, that outpaces any school within this county, and candidly, very few within the state of Tennessee outpace us from that construct. And we do all of this with that graphic that's at the left, at the bottom for you, your right, with over 125 different languages and dialects. We have students that enter every single day our classrooms across this school system that this is their first day for some of them in America. And we, our teachers serve them, and they do a phenomenal job. I'll take just a moment. You see some of the celebration that we had with our level five schools. Again, we think that's celebration is important for our children to see their accomplishments being recognized, and for our teachers and leaders to see their hard work being recognized. And I appreciate the board doing this. To give you a little more context on student academic growth and where we are and what's been accomplished. The last 3 years, you see how our school district has performed in regards to student academic growth. Simply stated, red is not good. I'm just very candid. Red is not good. Last year, for the first time in 3 years, 4 years, our school system saw us meet state expectation, which is a significant gain year over year. But I want to tell you, and we are convinced that meeting expectation isn't good enough. We want to be better. I'll also point out, I talked a little about fiscal responsibility. Our base budget last year was $1 million below the base budget from the year before. And you know, with inflation and how things move, to start a base budget off $1 million below where it was the year before, I think, again, it's a testament to our board, it's a testament to finance, our teachers, our leaders really digging in. I'd also point out to you that 93% of our budget is in our schools. 93% of our budget is in our schools. And so we are committed to continuing to be fiscally responsible as we go forward. I won't talk much about this. You probably have heard about it, but I do want to mention Future Ready Institutes. We launched those this past school year, 20 of them in 13 schools, career theme based in every high school, so that students have an opportunity to engage. But what's so exciting about this community is that even as we put that out there, we had business partners that said, I'm not just going to do it in name, but I'm also going to do it in deed. And so we had business partners and university partners that stepped forward and said, we want to be a branded partner, and we want to make sure, bigger than being a branded partner, that students in Hamilton County schools get the very best in public education and prepared for post-secondary. Last week, if you saw the news, Governor Bill Lee was here, and he came in to view the Gestamp program. And what he left saying essentially is that this is a model that he wants replicated across the state. We believe this is a model that we want to see replicated across our district. If you're not familiar with Gestamp, it's a work-based learning program where Gestamp, that's a power provider for Volkswagen, our students get to go half a day and actually earn a wage and spend the other half of the day doing their academic work. It's a life changer for a lot of our students. So I've talked to you about some highlights, and there's a lot to celebrate. There's even more within that, but we also have some challenges. And I firmly believe that anytime we have an opportunity to engage with the public, with the community, you know, we don't want to just tell you all the good. We want to tell you where our challenges are. Because what we realize as a public school system is that we cannot solve the challenges in isolation. We need you to fulfill the promise that exists here within our school district. So I want to spend just a touch of time on this. Two in five of our students that enter kindergarten, they enter not ready to learn. Then, much like the state average, only one in three are proficient in third grade reading. The interesting piece about this statistic is that same number, that one in three, that roughly 30%, which is on par with the state, that same number of students, that same average, goes all the way through high school when we talk about reading language arts. So we have to be intentional with our reading interventions, with what we do in regards to making sure our students are literate and that they can read, they can write, they can articulate what it is we're asking them to read and write. And then hold on to that 30%, because that same 30% is what we see in regards to students getting an opportunity for advanced coursework, dual enrollment, advanced placement, career technical education, certifications and credentials. That same 30% exist. I'll give you another statistic. 75% of our students, 75% of the students in Hamilton County schools, that received an opportunity to take one or more early post-secondary opportunity, one or more of these advanced placement courses, 75% of them went on to post-secondary. So we must ensure that all three of these phases are filled in, that we accelerate the pace at which we offer advanced coursework. Additionally, we know that our infrastructure, this building, I believe, was built in the 20s, 1920. We have old buildings, we have new buildings, we have everything in between. We are 7.5 million square feet of building, of school buildings. And our average age is roughly 40 years old. The average building life expectancy is roughly 50 years old. And so when we talk about our buildings, it's not just about the paint and the walls. It's about the learning environment. It's about preparing students for the future. As we look at our promise, how do we ensure that every student is in a learning environment that far exceeds what we experienced as children? Then access is a real barrier. Access is a real roadblock. It's a challenge for us, and we have to continue to overcome it. And access isn't just about transportation, even though that's an element of it. Access is about counselor support for social-emotional services. Access is about access to technology, access to vocational and career technical education opportunities. A great story of access, I believe, is in there tonight. Are the Howard Theaters, the Howard Theater program here? Please stand up. John Lennon and the Howard Theater program, we salute you. They're a great example of what access can do. We invested in the arts last year. We see that this first time since 1970s, roughly, that there's been a theater program back, and we appreciate John Lennon putting his flag in the ground and saying, I'm going to go start a program at Howard High School. Had a chance to speak with those young people today, but the arts are important. So we have to continue to invest to make sure that our students have that. So I've talked to you about our successes, our challenges, but I am just thrilled that we have a plan. We're not operating blindly. Our board codified a plan this past fall that will lead and guide and direct our work as we look towards fulfilling the promise that exists. This plan has five areas. It has five strategic focus areas. One is accelerating student achievement. Second is future-ready students. Engaged community, great teachers and leaders, and efficient and effective operations. And the great thing about this plan, the thing that we're most excited about, is that in every area within our strategic focus, you will see an annual performance summary. There are targets for every area that year over year we articulate to the public. This is where we want to be, and this is the work that we're doing to get there. Every month, we report to our school board on a specific area within this strategic focus, because having a plan is critical to moving the work forward. When we look at it, there are five targets, though, that I want to spend just a touch of time elevating that are important and we think resonate with this community. I talked to you about 1 in 3 third graders not being or 1/3 being proficient. We want to make sure by 2023, Future Ready 2023 says that by 2023, 50% of our third graders on the state assessment on TN Ready will be on track or mastered. And so we are committed to making sure that we have the most intentional reading interventions and supports and trainings for our teachers to make sure that we move that work forward. Additionally, we want 90% of our students, 90% of our students to graduate. And in a fairly large urban school district that's very diverse, that is a strong number. And we want to make sure that we move from 86.5 to that 90% by 2023. Additionally, we want to make sure that we double the number of students that are mastered or on track in Algebra 1. Algebra 1 is foundational. It is key. It is critical for students to get that foundational math context to be able to lead and to do the work that's necessary. I've talked to you as well about our advanced coursework. We want to make sure that 75% of our students, 75% of our students have an opportunity for advanced coursework or credential slash certification. It is important that we expose our students to these opportunities so that they can fulfill their promise and ensure that we fulfill ours. And then lastly, by 2023, we want to see our average ACT composite at a 21. That's important to us. That's a gateway to Hope Scholarship. That's a gateway to many opportunities within colleges and universities. As we talk about 21, we had two students that scored a perfect 36 on the ACT in Hamilton County Schools. And I believe Jack's mother is here. And Max wasn't able to be here, but again, just another example of the excellence that is, and it is within our students, and the promise that each of them hold. The days that lie ahead are so exciting for us, and I want to just dig in just a touch deeper on our 5-year plan. How many of you have children in our district? Put your hands up, please. I want to see your hands. All right. When you ask your child when they come home and you say, "What did you learn today?" What usually is the answer? That's almost in unison, right? It usually is nothing. And the reality is, I'm telling you as a superintendent, they're not telling you the truth. I'm not calling your child a liar. Do y'all have that in my email box tomorrow? You call my child? No, I didn't. I'm just saying they may not have really understood, right? And we have to acknowledge that they did not understand. So you should have heard, I'm hoping you're hearing about this thing called clear learning targets. And what we're really focused on is deconstructing the standard, pulling that standard apart, and making sure our students in student-friendly language understand what it is we want them to know and to be able to do at the end of a lesson. In addition to this, in regards to accelerating student achievement, we've got to ensure that our assessments are aligned. We've got to make sure we're delivering instruction in the most innovative and creative ways. And additionally, all means all. We've got to make sure that we are intervening for every single child in every single situation to provide them with an exceptional education. Future Ready students, I've talked some about our Future Ready Institutes, which are career thing, but up under this umbrella in the plan that our board codified, we talk about technology. So in grades 6 through 8, our middle schools, all of our middle schools are 1-to-1. That means every student in middle school has a Chromebook that they take home every day. We believe this is the right step, and we want to move it into grades 9 through 12 next year. Additionally, we want to see more technology at the elementary age. I want to be very clear about this. Technology never replaces a teacher. It will never replace direct instruction, a teacher delivering that instruction. But it can make our work more effective and efficient in regards to what we do. We've also got to ensure that we are continuing to partner with great partners like Chattanooga State and TCAT, UTC, to ensure that we are offering dual enrollment, dual credit, advanced placement opportunities as appropriate. High school principals had a meeting on the campus of Chatt State today to talk about how we look at our secondary schedules maybe a little bit differently to provide for opportunities for our students. So we know that in order to prepare students for the future, we have to be intentional in those ways. We have some great teachers and leaders. And I believe, is Miss Tiffany Irvin here? Miss Irvin, give Miss Tiffany Irvin a hand. And keep standing, because you're going to want to give her another hand. So Orchard Knob Middle School, where Miss Tiffany Irvin serves as principal, she's actually an alum of Orchard Knob Middle School. And for the first time in a decade, Orchard Knob Middle School has moved from below expectation student academic growth to meeting the expectation for student academic growth. Congratulations, Tiffany. Tiffany is indicative of so many of the leaders that we have here within this school system, and we've got to continue to make sure that those leaders are at the helm of our school. Is Brittany and Colleen here? Where are they? So these two ladies are famous. Last week you were at Steve Harvey, right? And then I think a few months ago you were at Ellen, and you're getting checks at every one of them, right? Well, look here, Brittany and Colleen, I don't have anything to give you, so you ain't getting nothing tonight. But they started this program called The Passage. And they are taking school to the community, and they're engaging parents around relevant work and making sure that parents understand. A prime example of so many of the 3,200 teachers that we have that go above and beyond to ensure that our students are successful. Thank you, ladies, so much. And because of teachers like Brittany and Colleen and leaders that we have across this school system, we've got to make sure that we recruit, we retain, we train, and that we pay them at a level that supports keeping them here in Hamilton County Schools. Talk some about effective and efficient operations. I'll simply state that we have to have a master plan. I mentioned 7.5 million square feet. The national standard that you would spend based on research is $3 per square foot to address deferred maintenance. That would take roughly $21.5 million a year in deferred maintenance. Right now, we spend roughly between $3 and $5 million in addressing our deferred maintenance. We have to continue to invest. The building built in 1920 is going to have some challenges, right? And so how do we intentionally invest in structures that may be old, that we want to sustain? And then how do we intentionally build new structures that we need so that our learning environments for our students are phenomenal? We are very grateful for our county mayor, Jim Coppinger, and I missed saying this earlier. I am so privileged to work alongside a mayor that is an advocate of public education, like Mayor Jim Coppinger. And to have a commission that is willing to invest in public education. And we have to continue to intentionally look at that. So we're excited over the next several months, MGT will be on the ground here in our school system, and they will be going through all of our buildings, helping us with a growth plan. And we look by at least the start of this upcoming year to have a master plan that lays out a plan of attack as we address our 7.5 million feet. Also within here, two other things I'll mention that I think are important for you to know and understand is, one, we're in the midst of a transportation RFP. We have a complex transportation situation, and we want to make sure we expose students to the opportunities. Thirdly, I talked about technology and putting laptops and devices in students' hands, but we have to make sure that the wireless access points, the infrastructure, can support that technology that's on the ground. So we have to continue to commit in those ways. Is Tammy Baxter here? Tammy, stand up. Give Tammy a hand. So does everybody know Tammy? If they don't, y'all should. So Tammy, I met Tammy. You can have a seat, Tammy, if you want to. You don't have to stand the whole time. I met Tammy actually on the first when I came to interview. And she came up to me after the interview and she said, if you get this job, you got to be at the Soddy Daisy band reveal. And I gave her my number and I said, if I get this job, you call me. I'll be there. And so two calls came to me out of Chattanooga, I think, the first day. The one was Chairman Highlander saying, hey, you're our guy. The second was Tammy Baxter saying, Soddy Daisy band reveal, mark your calendar. And so, but Tammy Baxter is a prime example of so many people we have in this community, so many supportive parents and community members that we have that go above and beyond. She was alerting us on last week that the cheerleading squad from Soddy Daisy High School, which, by the way, won second in the nation, She was alerting me that somebody from communications needs to be over there to get their pictures when they get off the plane at 3 o'clock. So we have so many engaged people like Tammy Baxter. That's just how you said it too, wasn't it? So many engaged community members like Tammy Baxter and like so many of you that are committed to public education. And our commitment is continue to engage you in the work that we do. So I put this headline up. You all know I'm a coach. And as a coach, I love headlines. Sort of. I don't know how that's going. But headlines are interesting. This headline says that our public school system, in a power poll, they identified public schools as the weakest area. It also said that workforce will continue to be a challenge. And so there is work that we must do within the public education space. And ultimately, that work that we do will prepare our students for post-secondary. So what we believe is that in order to fulfill our promise, we've got to ensure we're intentional about providing students with access. And when we talk about access, we believe that every student deserves an opportunity, five opportunities, for an early post-secondary opportunity. That's advanced placement, coursework, dual enrollment, dual credit, credentialing, certification. We believe this community is positioned and poised to offer our students that level of academic experience. And it's going to take all of us working together to fulfill that promise. This time next year, we want to see a different headline on that newspaper. The last thing I'll share is this. These are three people that are very important to me. One is my mom and my dad and my sons in both of them. I'll tell you about my dad. My dad's a 30-year plus pastor. He's a bivocational pastor. He also was a mechanic. He was one of nine children. And he taught us the importance of hard work. He taught us the importance of integrity. He taught me the importance of being a great husband, right? being a great father, he taught me those things. My mother, and I haven't really shared this publicly, I'm just now getting, to a good place to do this. My mother died on the Monday. I interviewed here on a Thursday. My mother died on that Monday. And she made some promises between her and my father. They made some promises to my sister and I. They promised us that if we did what we were supposed to do, they would make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. My mother was one of the first blacks to integrate the University of South Carolina. When she went to school, they had to have National Guard swordsmen present. But education, the promise that education held, was that important to her. And when I look at my son, I see the promise in him. And I want to ensure that I do all that I can to make sure I hold up my end of the promise the way my parents held up their end of the promise. And I don't just believe it's right for my son. But I believe it's right for all 44,500 kids. The kids that sung to you the Tennessee Waltz songs earlier? Y'all did some good singing too. Give them a hand for performing. Stand right here. Thank you. I'm not going to get all their names, but Andrew Reynolds is up here. Jonathan is up here. Akil is up here. Christopher is up here. Constance, that's somebody's child. Annalise is up here. This is the class of 2030. And I hope that you join me in making a promise, not just to them, but to those that will come after them.
Well, I want to say thank you to Hamilton County Department of Education and Superintendent Dr. Brian Johnson for permission to release this speech as a podcast. And I think it's a good moment to give a special thank you to everyone out there who's working so hard to fulfill the promise of education for all of our children. From teachers to principals to specialists, janitors, cafeteria workers, to external organizations like Chattanooga 2.0 and Unify Ed and the Public Education Foundation, to all the businesses who are partnering to create these future-ready institutes, and to the parents and the caretakers reading with our children every single night. You know, in this speech, Dr. Brian Johnson mentioned that this promise is something that the school system by itself cannot fulfill and needs the cooperation of our entire community. And what I love about this strategic plan is that it's addressing the real needs of our children and the school system, and that these goals are realistic and attainable. And what's wonderful is Dr. Johnson's committed to making these metrics transparent, for essentially issuing an annual report card on how we are doing as a community to meet these goals. And so we can do this. Chattanooga, Hamilton County, this community, we can do this and help fulfill the promise of education for every one of our children. So thank you all for taking time to listen to the Camp House podcast. The Camp House exists to steward the common good in Chattanooga through hospitality, culture, and education. And this podcast is here to keep you connected, informed, and inspired by what is happening in your community. We do have some events coming up at the Camp House here in the next 2 weeks that we want you to come out and support. The first is this Saturday, March 16th, is the LOL Comedy Night, hosted by Amisha Franklin, featuring Boogie B and Marcus Fairbanks, presented by Big City Entertainment and Lil Mo Films. Then Tuesday, March 19th, is the next edition of our Songwriter Stage. This month, our host is Anthony Quayles, and will feature 8 local songwriters: Ava Grace, Carl Pemberton, Enda Luz, Eric Simpson, Erica Lewis, Jefferson Heil, Caleb Stock, and Michelle Barr. And then finally, our next Theology on Tap event is coming up on Thursday, March 21st, and it's going to feature the British theologian Dr. Craig Bartholomew. His lecture will be titled "Signposts for a Divided World: Where is God in Contemporary Culture?" So if you want to learn more about any of these events, then please check out our website at thecamphouse.com. That's also the place where you can share this episode. So thank you for listening, but take a moment and share it with a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. The more of our community we can make aware of this 5-year plan, the more of our community that we can pull into this, the more successful we will be in fulfilling the promise of education. Again, thank you all for listening. We'll see you back here next time for an interview with Michael Gilliland of Caleb, exploring the new Community Bail Fund. Until then, have a great day.